Our second scripture today is found in the book of Luke, which is on 853 in your pew Bibles, if you would like to follow along. The famous story of the rich young ruler. Luke 18, verses 18 through 23. A certain ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." He replied, "I have kept all of these since my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "There is still one thing lacking. Sell all that you own and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. O God, by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do in order to obey Jesus our Christ. Amen. When I was in college, I knew a girl in my dorm whose parents were very, very generous to her. She had her full college tuition all paid for, room and board too. And she had no need to get a part-time job. Her parents gave her a car and in her wallet that even was her parents' credit card so she could put gas in the car and get incidental things. All that she was supposed to do was to take classes and pass them. But she didn't do that. Instead, she skipped class, missed exams, turned in half-hearted papers and incomplete assignments. She partied. She stayed out all night. And eventually, after she had exhausted all of the academic probation programs and all of her professors' patience, her parents pulled her out of college, and they got her a job down at Disney World. And they explained to everyone that she just wasn't ready for college yet. They wanted their daughter to prove to them that she was ready before they paid for her to go back to school. Tough love. Tough love is the idea that you don't do something for someone in order to help them out in the long run. For example, a parent who refuses to financially support a drug-addicted child until they enter a drug treatment program, that would be another example of tough love. Or tough love could happen between equals, such as when a coworker finally refuses to continue to pick up the slack that is regularly left undone around the office. Or tough love can even occur from the bottom up, such as when a child refuses to participate in the cover-up of their parents' alcoholism anymore. All of these are examples of tough love, of not doing something that someone really wants you to do in order so that they can better learn how to control their behavior on their own. Now, this kind of love is called tough because it's really hard on both parties. It's so much easier for the caretaker to continue propping the needy person up and to continue fixing everything for them. It's just hard to see someone go through something that's painful. And tough love is tough on the receiving end, too, because suddenly it's uncomfortable to continue in that same behavior, however bad for you it may be. when the consequences of your bad behavior come right back on you and you have to suffer for it, and you're not shielded from the pain, that can be rather tough to take. Now, some of this tough love seems to be being played out in our Genesis passage today. Remember Joseph, who had had his special coat ripped off of him by his brothers, who was thrown into a pit and eventually sold as a slave into Egypt. Joseph, the little annoying brother, is now in the position of power, just as he dreamed that he would be one day. And when his starving brothers come to him for grain, Joseph greets them with some tough love. In his role as the overseer in Egypt, Joseph accuses his brothers of being spies, and he throws them in prison for a few days. You can almost see him saying, "Now, see how that feels when you did that to me." And then he demands that they bring his little brother Benjamin from Canaan back to Egypt. Joseph doesn't reveal himself to them and make everything all right. Instead, he lets them face some consequences for what they have done wrong. He doesn't immediately step in and reveal himself as their long-lost brother and the hero, saving them from their plight. But he allows them the opportunity to consider what they have done in the past and how that is affecting them now. In much the same way, God's love for us is tough. We as humans are constantly getting ourselves into predicaments of our own human making. And God doesn't protect us from our own bad decisions. As much as it probably hurts God to watch us, we have been given the freedom to make those good or bad choices. So when we lie and cheat and hurt each other here on earth, God doesn't take away the pain of our mistakes. But rather, we are given the opportunity to learn from those mistakes and are able, through God's grace, to choose the right path again. Now, in one of our midweek Bible studies, we have recently finished studying the book of Jonah. And while there are many aspects to this famous story, the key figure, Jonah, is notable for his bad decisions. Instead of listening to what God wants him to do, Jonah ignores God completely. He goes in the opposite direction and ends up in the most ridiculous place imaginable. Yet even in the worst of circumstances, God provides the grace and the means to bring him back again. Our New Testament passage today is a story of someone who thought he had it all figured out. This rich young ruler, a leader in his community, has followed every commandment. He knew the letter of the law, and he was good at following it. We can easily imagine him, a man with a good job, a good family, a good house, and good business sense. Yet there was one thing that he was lacking. While he was following the letter of the law, he was missing the spirit of it. Remember, the law summarized is this: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so when Jesus challenged this man to care about what was really important, God and his neighbor, this man went away sad because what he really loved was not others, but his own stuff. In our headstrong pursuit of things, in our pursuit of our own comfort, our own position in life, our own power, these are things that God doesn't step in and stop. Rather, God's love is tough. And one day when we wake up to the consequences of our own self-centeredness, when we discover that the joy of serving and giving to others and living out our entire lives for Christ is missing, it is in that moment when we will realize the need to change. Now, back a few summers ago when I owned a horse, I studied different training techniques and their effectiveness toward instructing this big, proud, headstrong animal. And one of the best techniques that I found involved training the horse in a round pen. Now, it's not an ordinary round pen. They're kind of smaller, and they're filled with sand, maybe a foot and a half of sand. So the way it works is when the trainer gives the horse an instruction, perhaps asking the horse to do something brand new and scary, the horse's first reaction is not to follow that instruction, but simply to run away. And the beauty of this technique is that the trainer doesn't try to stop the horse from running. Rather, she encourages the horse to go. She encourages the horse to run as fast and as long as they can, to buck and kick up their heels in the trainer's face. But the sand in the round pen is very deep. It's exhausting to run in. And as far and as fast as the horse runs, they are confined to that circle. They never get anywhere new. They run and they run and they run until they're sick of running, of trying to keep up that frantic pace, which ultimately gets them nowhere. And then, finally, the horse will stop. And they will turn their heads, and they'll look at the trainer, and they'll listen for an instruction. Because whatever the trainer is saying, it sure beats running in circles and never getting anywhere. God's love is tough enough to allow us to run ourselves ragged in circles in our lives. It's tough enough to allow us to feel the consequences of our actions, our sins against our brothers and sisters, our rejection of God's call to love and to serve God and our neighbors. God's love is tough. For even if we would run from God and go to the furthest depths of the sea, even there we would encounter God's voice of love and of grace. Come, follow me. Follow me. Do you hear it? I pray that we all do. Amen. Will you please stand and join me in our confession of faith?